Happy Resurrection Day, everyone. Right? I mean, this is the day that is the most meaningful day in the life of a Christian, and even in the life of a non-Christian. They just don't know it yet. This is a day that we really can't explain, and we really don't deserve. But it's because of this day. And you know what? You can go back to your calendar and say, well, it wasn't exactly this day, and you won't get any argument here. What we do know is that we have a day that we celebrate, and so this is the one we're celebrating. So this is an incredible day, and I just ask God that he would bless each one of you in this day and that you would truly be full of life. The world is not full of life, and that's what makes it such a terrible place. But we were called to bring light into dark places, and we were called to bring life where there's death. So we just bless God for inviting us into his incredible plan. Last week, while we were in worship and then while Ruth was speaking, I got a vision. It was something I saw. I don't know how to classify it. All I could say is I think it's for all of us. It wasn't just for me. I believe it's for this church. But I will just share it with you. I would ask you to take it for yourself. Anyway, the hardest part to describe is how I saw it. If you've ever saw the some of the superhero movies with Spider-Man, typically Spider-Man or Superman, somebody moving real fast. You see this person moving in a specific direction very fast, and then you kind of see like the trail because they're moving so fast, right? You see them on a promo maybe for one of those kind of movies. You see like they're pulling, you could see the momentum behind them, right? It's like their body is almost a blur and they're moving in this one direction. And as I saw that picture, I saw people trying to reach out. I saw myself in that picture. I saw you in that picture. I see our church in that picture. And I saw people trying to reach out and grab the back of that person that was moving so rapidly in one specific direction. And as I thought about myself, I said to myself, or actually another voice said to me, don't let that person grab your shoulder because you're going to slow down. And then it was another person. And then it was another person. And then it was another person. And there was this fear and this apprehension coming over me because of this voice that kept saying, they're going to slow you down. They're going to slow you down. And in that moment, the Lord broke in and said, it doesn't matter how many. It doesn't matter how many latch on to you. As long as your focus and your intention stays the same, it doesn't matter how many want to come. They can all come. And so I just want to release that over you this morning, that it doesn't matter how many people or how many situations or how many whatevers want to try to latch onto our life. What matters is that we know where we're going and we're intentional about where we're going, and that we have, like Jesus said, his face was like flint. He knew exactly what his purpose was. And then for a while I've had in my spirit this picture. I can't tell you when it came up, but it was before the beginning of the year. And I just had pictures of this city. And all over this city, things began to happen. And they just began to be unexplained phenomenon that drew a crowd every time. So whether it would be a healing or whether just some kind of miraculous somebody's life would change in the middle of the street, walking to the bus stop, picking up the train, doing whatever you're doing, all of a sudden this act of God would occur and there would be an incredible crowd. It would be undeniable. It would be in the newspapers. It would be all over the place and it'd be unexplained. And people would try to go investigate it and find out who and why, and they couldn't, but it would continue to happen all over the city. So I just want to release that over you this morning and give you some hope and faith for what God might do, something totally unnatural to us, right? We get in a groove and we want to do what we want to do and we want to go where we want to go. We don't want any interruptions. This is going to be interruptive. This is not going to be a part of our natural process and flow. And so I just share that with you this morning. This morning we're going to talk about Jesus is our victory. We don't have to get a victory. We don't have to fight for a victory. We already have a victory. The war is over. There is no war. Jesus is not fighting the devil. It's not happening. Not on any day does Jesus fight the devil. The devil lost. There's only one way the devil wins, and that's if we agree with him. Everything you need, we've heard it like six times this morning at least. Everything you need has already been appropriated for you. It's already been paid for. The pain to get it has already been spent. The blood has already been shed. The body has already been broken. The devil can't change that. All he can try to do is convince us this morning that it's not available to us individually or corporately, or it's not available to us overall. And if he does that, he's successful, just like the picture I just told you. If he's able to convince us that if somebody wants to grab on to this journey that I'm going on, it's going to slow me down. If he convinces me of that, then he wins. He doesn't win any other way, because Jesus rose from the grave. And so we want to read a familiar scripture in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66, and a few more. We're not going to be long this morning, because we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper on the way out. And maybe Lionel will lead us through that when we're done here this morning. Maybe Lionel and Vanessa will take us through the Lord's Supper as we leave this morning. So we renew our lives here. We remember what Jesus did, and then we take his body and his blood to refresh ourselves and get ready for all that he wants to do through our lives. So Matthew 27, it says that day was called the preparation day. The next day, the leading priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. So Jesus has been crucified. He expires on the cross after a brutal beating and all other kinds of abuse, unimaginable abuse. He expires on the cross, and not a bone of his body is broken. And one of his followers goes and tries to argue that they want to bury the body. Joseph goes and says, we want to bury the body. We have a tomb, and they get granted the right to take his body down and put it in the tomb. And so that's what's happening right now. And it says that the Pharisees went to Pilate and they said, sir, we remember that while this liar was still alive, he said, I will rise from death in 3 days. You know, it's important that we remember sometimes that unbelievers know the scripture better than we do. And there's something wrong with that, right? If we're a follower of Christ, we should at least know what he said and why, try to understand why he said it. We don't have to be Bible scholars. But here we have the Pharisees who weren't following Jesus, who were against Jesus at every turn, who didn't believe in him, who were holding to the Jewish tradition. They had more faith in that moment than the disciples did. The disciples were scattered and hiding, except for maybe a couple. Except for this guy who wanted to get his body and buried him. But the guy who wanted to get his body and bury him didn't really believe that he was going to resurrect. He just wanted to do the right ritual thing, which was give him a proper burying, right? Because typically in Roman death, you would just toss into a pit and or thrown over a wall, and the dogs would feed off the corpses after they were brutally murdered. And so this guy, Joseph, goes and says, I want the body because I want to give it a proper burial. But the people that don't believe in Jesus go to Pilate and say, we remember. His followers didn't remember in that moment, but the people that were against him remember. He said he's going to raise again. And just in case, it's so stupid and ridiculous, but just in case, or in case his followers try to pull a joke on everybody and hide his body, we want to make sure that it's protected, right? You got to wonder, like, if it was so bizarre to them and if it was so impossible, you got to wonder why they would have done that. And you got to think about why they would have done it. And I'll tell you why they would have done it, because all these people during the time of Jesus that got healed and all these miracles, and just a week or two before Lazarus was raised from the dead, right? We heard about it last week, right? They knew something was going on. They actually had more faith in their unbelief in that moment than his followers had in that moment. So give the order for the tomb to be guarded well for 3 days. His followers might come and try to steal the body. Then they could tell everyone that he has risen from the death, from dead. That lie will be even worse than what they said about him before. Pilate said, take some soldiers and go guard the tomb the best way you know. So they all went to the tomb and made it safe from thieves. They did this by sealing the stone in the entrance and putting soldiers there to guard it. So the religious people of the day are worried that some scam's going to happen, and they don't want anything to be misinterpreted. So they go to the Roman governor. Can we put a guard on the tomb? He says, yes. They go there. They put a huge stone on it. Not the kind of stone that you could move yourself. Not even a couple people. Take like quite a few Roman soldiers to move this stone into place. And then they put a seal on it. So the seal is broken. They know somebody was in there. Now, it's interesting that we never hear an argument. Even to today, we never hear an argument about there was no tomb. We only hear that there was no resurrection, that people don't rise from the dead. Now, in those days, you know, when you were crucified, again, they threw your body away. You didn't get buried. You got no honor. And so it's interesting that we never hear an argument that there was no tomb. It's kind of almost given that there was a tomb. In fact, there is some places in Jerusalem today that they would say historically is his tomb. One is pretty certainly where his tomb was. So we have this definite evidence, if you will, that Jesus lived and Jesus died and that he was put in the tomb. Then the argument becomes, well, did he resurrect or not? And that's a choice we have to make this morning. It's a decision you have to make in your own heart. And yet, in order to get to know him, you have to be able to say, I believe that he resurrected. Because if he's not alive, then he can't change your sin. If he didn't die and resurrect, then I still own my sin and I'm destined for whatever comes next. If you don't believe in hell this morning, then you're destined for whatever happens after this life. Pilate said, take some soldiers, go guard the tomb in the best way you know. So they all went to the tomb and made it safe for thieves. They did this by sealing the stone and putting soldiers to guard it. Later on, the next chapter. The day after the Sabbath was the first day of the week. That day at dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women named Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly an angel of the Lord came from the sky, and there was a huge earthquake. An angel went to the tomb and rolled away the stone from the entrance. Then he sat on top of the stone. You gotta love that, man. We take this stuff so seriously, but like, you know, I just think that that might have been a little bit of a comedic moment. Like, you know, like, I can't move the stone, huh? Let's see. So anyway, the angel was shining as bright as lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The soldiers guarding the tomb were very afraid of the angel. They shook with fear and then became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one who was killed on the cross, but he's not here. He's risen from the dead as he said he would. Come and see the place where his body was and go quickly and tell his followers Jesus has risen from death. He's going into Galilee and will be there before you. You will see him there. So there's this amazing testimony of this event where these women go into the grave. We know from the other Gospels that they weren't going there because they were, hey, on their way to see Jesus alive. This is the day. Let's get going. Hurry up. We need to go down there and meet him, right? You know, I mean, like, in this modern day and age, let's say if somebody was saying this, and you see this kind of stuff, kooky stuff go on now and then when somebody makes a claim. But if we were to bring this story into today's environment, culture, you would see at least some people, I don't know if it'd be a lot or not, but you would see at least some people saying, I believe that he's going to rise in 3 days. They would get their tents and they would go out there from day one. They wouldn't wait till that morning. They would be camping out ahead of time, right? You see some, you know, just a couple weeks ago, they had enrollment for a school up here. that only certain amount of people get selected to. The people were camped on the sidewalk overnight, okay? All the way up the block for a three-year-old preschool. Now, I don't mean they were waiting online. I mean they were living on the street, right? Because one of my buildings is right there, and I couldn't even get my building door because there was a tent city in front of my building. So if this proclamation were to happen today, there wouldn't be people, but people that really believed it wouldn't be waiting till day three. They'd be out there ahead of time because they'd say, hey, I want to be the closest. I want to be the first. You know what? I'm going to be there no matter what. I'm not going to miss this, right? That's just the way it would be. But his followers were scattered because they didn't believe that he was going to resurrect. And so these two Marys, they're on their way because they're going to go and anoint the body. It's a ritual. But on their way there, they're talking to themselves about, wow, how are we going to move this stone? It's impossible. First of all, you know, it was a very big stone. There's only two women. They would need, you know, a whole bunch of other people to help them move it. Anyway, on the way there, there's this incredible angel shows up. And how many know when angels show up, we don't have to worry about what it is. We don't have to worry about how big the stone is. We don't have to worry about how big the challenge is. We don't have to worry about how big our problem is. We don't have to worry about our disappointment. And somebody said it this morning, but we don't have to wait for angels to show up. They're actually available. They're actually with us. They've actually been commissioned to help us accomplish what God wants to accomplish. What we should care about is, are we doing and walking? Is our destiny where God wants to go, us to go? Because if it is, then we know we have angelic help with us. And so while they weren't necessarily believing in Jesus' resurrection, they were on their way to see him, and their heart was broken because of what had happened. And God honored their faithfulness. First ones there, not Peter, not James, not any of the disciples. The two ladies are the first ones there. And they get to see this incredible picture. And just imagine what it's like someday, right? We get so trapped into our routine that we haven't got the ability to think about what would it look like. I told you about what I thought God told me in the beginning of the year, that these things were going to happen. And every time it comes back to my mind, I say, God, I don't go out of the door every day expecting that. You keep reminding me, but once I get out of the door, I'm in my mode. I'm in my plan, and I don't want any interruptions in my plan, and I don't want any changes in my plan unless I decide I want to change my plan. And so I'm not even thinking about, wow, something's going to happen here. Wow, maybe like I get stuck in traffic. I'm not thinking, wow, is God doing something up the street and that's why everything stopped? I'm not thinking that way. I'm just thinking, I need to get around this annoyance. So God's trying to rewrite our mental capacity and realign the way we think. And so they go there, they see this angel. It had to be the most bizarre thing they had seen up until that moment, right? They had seen a lot of miracles that Jesus did, but the Bible says that this angel was like lightning. And this angel was, his clothes were white as snow. And this angel descends and just the stone is gone, man. I mean, like, it's just like the biggest obstacle of our life, the biggest challenge we have, whatever it is, it's just gone. In a moment of belief and faith, it's just out of the way. And the stone is rolled away, and the angel says to them, he's not here. You came to see him, but he's not here. He's risen just like he said he would. And so then the angel says, come in and take a look. In case you're not sure, come in and take a look. And so they go into the grave and see that Jesus' body is no longer there. And then the angel tells them, go back and tell the disciples, the ones that were, you know, so close to Jesus, had walked with him, had performed miracles, had watched him perform miracles, had had the Last Supper with him. When Jesus told them, I'm going to be crucified and I'll be resurrected the next day, the women had to go and tell them, right? Peter, who said, not you, Lord, it'll never happen to you. And if you die, I'm going to go die with you. He was not the first one at the tomb. He did not have his tent out. And he wasn't camping out saying, I'm going to be first in line. I'm going to be there to watch. It was the women. And the women were sent back to tell the man. And then once the men found out, then they came and they they saw, and then they believed because they saw with their own eyes. And then you know the rest of the story. Jesus visited them all in the room shortly thereafter. This morning, he's alive. If you don't believe that, that's up to you. It's an offer to you. It's an offer to me that he has raised from the dead. He has covered our sin. He has taken our punishment. Everything that you deserved, he got on the cross because you've accepted him. I've accepted him as my Savior. He's taken all of that, and he's given us a back of life, of eternal life, and promises of God that we could have never dreamed of. The question is, do we believe him? And are we able to open up our spirit in a way of faith? Open our Hannah was saying this morning, we open our arms. It's the arms of our spirit. It's the openness of our spirit. God, can I believe this? So many people have so many beliefs that go nowhere. Ask them, why do you believe that? Where does that lead you? Where does that take you? What does that bring you? You won't get many good answers. You may not like this answer, but I'll tell you what, it's explainable. It's explainable. And here's the thing. The devil is going to try, just like he did with that prophecy I told you about from last week, just like he did at the tomb, and just like he's doing right now, right here in our chairs and in this place, he's speaking lies into our ears, always. And so what's interesting in this scenario is that the devil knew exactly what God's plan was. The devil knew better that Jesus was going to raise from the dead than his followers did. So we have a couple groups here. We have his disciples, we have the Pharisees, and we have the devil. The Pharisees believe he's going to rise from the dead, or at least think it's possible. The devil believes he's going to rise from the dead. The only people that don't believe that are his followers. Now, the Pharisees believed it so well that they went to the Romans and said, this guy's a charlatan. We better go and lock down that tomb just in case. Here's what we have to know this morning. It doesn't matter how much the devil knows, and it doesn't matter how much he does. Even when he knows ahead of time what comes, he loses. No matter what assault he wants to bring on our lives, our families, our situation, if we're in Christ, he loses. He just doesn't have a choice. He's a born loser. He's destined to lose. He never, ever wins, ever, unless we let him. But he himself doesn't win in the long run. When we agree with him, he hurts us, but he himself will never win. He could still hurt me today, but tomorrow I can realign my faith in Jesus and I have eternal life. He has eternal death. And no matter what he does, so he speaks into the ears of the Pharisees on that day, and he says, this guy, what if it is true? This is how he works. Over here, he's telling me it's not true. Over there, for those who don't believe, he's saying, what if it is true? He's the accuser. He sets us up, and then he watches us fall. And so he tells the Pharisees, what if it is true? And they go with this grand plan to figure out how to eliminate any possibility that there could be any kind of misunderstanding about whether or not Jesus is dead and where his body is. And at the end of the day, God says, it really doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, because if your faith is in me, I will move rocks, I will move mountains, I will change the situation, I will do what's necessary. Do you trust me? Yes. And so this morning, we're going to just realign our trust with him. Yes. We're going to say, God, no matter what it is, maybe there's a big rock in your way this morning. Maybe there's a job or a relationship or something else. Or maybe it's just your belief. Maybe you're on the edge. One day you're in, one day you're out. Sometime you think he does, sometime you think he doesn't. The question is, will you throw open your heart to him this morning? Will you recognize what he's done for you? Will you take a few minutes to think through all that he endured for you and say to yourself, why would he do that? And what is he trying to show me? Because he will show you. He'll take you through. I could give you story after story of huge rocks that he's rolled out of my life. Of huge rocks that he's rolled out of my heart. Which I would never, I look today and say, hey, that was impossible. It's only by some power beyond me. And so this morning, I'm going to invite Lionel and Vanessa to come here. We're just going to come and we're going to thank God for what he's done. We're going to recognize that he's alive. And we are going to re-covenant with him through the power of his body, which was broken for us, and his blood, which was shed for us. Amen?